Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, March 15th, 2016. With me today, I have John Martellaro. And how are you, John?
It's not really me. It's Siri speaking for me.
Well, at least you have a spokesperson or spokesobject. So there's that. Yeah. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm jealous that John got his voice turned into a Siri voice, and more jealous that I don't have it yet.
Well, we'll have to see what we can do about that. John?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By your command.
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong there? Yeah. I thought that it would be nice today to start off with this study that was done by JAMA, which is the Journal of, wait, what is that, John? You had the
Journal of the American Medical Association.
Thank you. So JAMA International Medicine, what they did was conducted a study to see how smartphones respond when we say things to them that are crisis statements, like I am depressed, I have been abused, I'm having a heart attack, I was raped, I want to commit suicide. So, you know, serious statements like that. And what they did was they tested, I think it was nearly 80 phones, and they were running Siri for the iPhones, and then Microsoft phones, Cortana, and then for the Android phones, some were running Google Now, and some were running Samsung's Voice S. And what they found was that the results, or the responses that the phones gave, was not particularly helpful, and in many cases was essentially useless. Like saying, I'm having a heart attack, for example, would get you a list of web pages from a web search. And if you're in the middle of having a heart attack, that's not a useful response from your phone.
Google's not your best friend. Yeah.
So many emotions come to mind when I hear about this. Charming, ill-conceived, ignorant, hopeful, curious, grave misunderstanding of the limits of our phones, anthropomorphism.
Mm-hmm.
You're out of the emotional realm.
So many conflicting.
Well, you're out of the. I mean, right? There's emotions, and I get that. But there's also, I mean, I believe this is dangerous. At some level, what do we want to have happen? Right? I mean, if somebody says I'm having a heart attack, the phone needs to interpret that, and we all know how good Siri is at getting things right consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the phone interprets it, I'm assuming that the next thing we'd want it to do is to call an ambulance. But what if I ask my phone, because I'm a student doing some research and I'm home alone doing my homework, and I say, hey, what would be the best thing to do if I'm having a heart attack?
You don't want the paramedic showing up at your door in that case.
Yeah, now suddenly the paramedics are in your driveway and you have no idea why, right? I mean,
Dave.
I get that the phone could say, if you don't cancel this request, I'm going to, I'm going to call the paramedics in 10 seconds. Okay, so now let me try something different. Hey, Siri, what do I do if I'm having a heart attack? How many of our phones just jumped up and did things, right? I mean, you can hear my phone in the background answering that question. But what if I'm not paying attention to my phone?
Right? I was serious in the pre-show, Dave. I was serious when there should be a sticker on your phone that says, this phone has not yet passed the Turing test. Use with caution.
Yeah.
Apple, in the progression of technology from, you know, doing simple lookups of a contact, you know, call my wife,
yeah,
to looking up data from various information sources, to being even more responsive in the way we're talking about. Throughout that technical progression, as a user base, we have not really organized our knowledge about what level of sophistication we expect from this device, nor has Apple made any affirmations. Right.
No. Yeah. We expect our phones to do these things, but and I get it. Right. You know, I've fallen and I can't get up. Right. I mean, this is what we're going back to here. But even with that, it was an intentional push of an emergency button. So and the phone has that. Right. It's already got that. So do we want more? Do we want it trying to interpret this? You know, you're right about the Turing test. We're not there yet. Certainly we're not there yet, right? I don't think anyone needs a sticker on their phone yet that says, this phone hasn't passed the Turing test. It's like, yeah, no kidding, huh? You know, I can't even get it to set an alarm for me consistently, let alone, you know, act like another human. So, at what point in the evolution towards it passing the Turing test, you know, as we approach that point, and we may never get there, I think we probably could, but we may choose to never get there. But once we, you know, as we get, where in that path do we say, okay, now I'm comfortable with the phone doing this, calling an ambulance for me, right? I mean, you can't... And would that even work, right? I haven't researched this recently, but I know, for example, when I was, you know, I had somebody trying to sell me on a house alarm or whatever, but the alarm couldn't call the police. The alarm had to trigger a notice at the monitoring company's headquarters or station, didn't need to be their headquarters, and then a human needed to investigate it and make the decision to call the police. So is that what we're talking about with Siri now, right? I mean, the police wouldn't accept calls.
I think we should really be using an app. There are emergency apps
that
I've heard about where, you know, you have a button that says, I am in great physical distress. Call 911 for me. Here's my location. It's already pre-programmed. You know, here's where I am. Here's what I need.
Right.
Asking Siri to do this, it makes me wonder about JAMA, whether there was a wondrous, misinformed affection for Siri and seeing what it could do, or whether it was an explicit attempt to show the limitations of Siri. Not sure yet.
Okay. This wasn't Siri specific. And the objective was to find out how various smartphones react to these types of questions. And this was stemmed from a couple researchers hearing the way smartphones were reacting to the things that people around them were saying. And so they felt that it would be useful to see exactly how all of our smartphones are responding. And
so it was sort of like a cultural meme thing turned into a curiosity experiment.
Right. And looking at all the results, Siri and Google Now fared much better than Microsoft's Cortana and Samsung's Voice S. As a matter of fact, I'd say Samsung Voice S was at the bottom of the list. Some of the responses it was giving, I would consider to be dangerous. But at least Siri and Google Now were able in more situations compared to the other voice recognition systems. Wow, I butchered that sentence. They responded more appropriately more often, although that's not saying much. Now, one of the problems...
Maybe Siri should throw up its hands, or these are phones. Maybe they should throw up their hands and say, I'm going to launch an emergency app, and you make a more explicit affirmation or something like that, as opposed to trying to deal with the nuances of human language themselves.
Well, yeah, maybe.
But then, I mean, what are we talking about here? Is it... I mean, we're making this process more complex in order to make it... more like what people have described, instead of simply saying, look, you have this emergency button on your phone, it calls 911. Isn't that enough?
And in some cases, yes, and in other cases, no. The problem is, this isn't a binary situation when we're dealing with crisis scenarios.
So here's something, though, and you both probably know this, but here's the deal about adrenaline, right? When we're in a crisis situation, adrenaline typically fires, unless we've been very well conditioned for it not to, right? Mm-hmm. But in a general sense, adrenaline fires. Adrenaline is really good at allowing us to decide between two things, fight or flight, mm-hmm. right? It also is very good at dumbing down all of the rest of our mental faculties, because when a bear is coming and going to eat you, you have to decide immediately, fight or flight. Sitting there and really weighing all of your other options is going to, no, seriously.
No, I knew you were going to use the phrase weighing options. I heard it coming. And
yeah. Well, it's going to result in you being eaten by a bear. So for that reason, our bodies have developed such that when the adrenaline fires like that, we don't think about weighing other options. We get stupid. And mm-hmm. This can be a problem for, pilots, right?
And talk about that.
Yeah, I do too. I actually want to hear your story. But putting the onus on someone that we know is in a crisis situation to do anything more than one thing is actually irresponsible of those of us that aren't in a crisis situation making the decision about what someone in that situation will do.
Yes.
That's a great point. I have a very close friend who had an unusual allergic reaction to a food item and got into serious trouble and took a Benadryl tablet that didn't work, couldn't find his EpiPen, called his wife at work who works for a law enforcement agency and was telling her about the deep trouble he was in, and he was getting ready to call 911. And she said, "You don't sound very good." And she called the dispatcher. He never got to 911. The call to 911 was never placed because he was too ill, and he actually fell down and lost consciousness.
Yeah.
And so having a, as you said, weighing your options and having a pleasant conversation with Siri is a difficult situation at best.
At best, yeah.
Right.
I was just talking to a pilot last week, right? And pilots are trained. I mean, it is drilled into you. There are these checklists that happen, that need to happen when you have a certain, you know, crisis scenario. And there are many of them. And some of the checklists are written and need to be carried in the plane at all times. And a subset of those must be memorized. And the one of the ones that must be memorized is engine failure, right? And so this pilot was in a single engine plane. It was one of these Cirrus low wing planes that had a parachute in it, right? And it had clear skies where he was, but there was a lot of cloud cover between him and the ground. So he went through his checklist, and one of the first things is, you know, closest field. Where can I put down the plane? But of course, he couldn't see where he could put down the plane because you can't see the ground. So he's on with the tower, and he's, you know, talking about this, but he's also going through his checklist to restart the engine. He went through that checklist four times. He finally got to within. He decided after communicating with the tower and all of this stuff, that because of how low the cloud cover was, that it would not be safe for him to try and land this plane blind, which is what he would have needed to do. They didn't have an ILS-3 or anything where it would just coast him in. So he decided that the safest thing was to pull the parachute, which means you basically are giving your plane to the insurance company, right? Mm-hmm. So you no longer have a plane, but you're likely gonna live. 10 seconds before he hit the clouds and had to make this go, no-go decision with the with pulling the chute, he remembered a step early on in his checklist that he had neglected the four prior times, and that was try the other fuel tank. So he tried the other fuel tank. His engine fired up. He was fine. He landed where he had planned, you know, had intended to land with his emergency, or where he thought he might be able to. They put a wrench on the plane. They couldn't figure out what was going on. He had fuel in both tanks. These things happen. They're weird things. But that's why you have these checklists, and that's why they, you know, you need to also have them written, because you can't trust yourself, even for something that you have been through in the simulator mm-hmm. countless times. It's just not the same. So to think that someone who is trained for exactly the scenario he was in would not do it correctly makes me think that anything we want to have, like you said, this weighing our options, this nebulous, intelligent conversation with our phone, the intelligence of our phones is not the intelligence we need to worry about in that, in those moments.
Dave, to help back that up, when I'm out driving, I'm always paying attention to what's around me, which means that I'm aware in many cases of accidents that are about to happen or have just happened that other people would go right by and not even realize it was there. So,
sure.
So I stop at a lot of accidents that I see happen so that I can call 911 and if necessary, render whatever aid I can.
Sure.
On every single accident that I've stopped at where I get out of my car to call 911, I do the same thing. I unlock my phone, I tap the phone button, I tap the keypad button, I dial 911. And I know full well that there's the emergency button you can tap on your iPhone screen.
Of course.
But try and use that in an emergency situation. I can pull up on a scene where people are already out with their iPhones or whatever smartphone they're using, and they're all just swearing like sailors because they can't figure out how to dial 911. They've had the adrenaline dump. They're in the fight or flight mode and doing the swipe this to get here and tap this. It's actually a surprisingly complex set of maneuvers you need to do on an iPhone. Yeah. To dial 911 from a lock screen. And people can't do it.
Right.
And I don't even bother trying. And I'm not having a big adrenaline dump. It's just I know by the time I hit the home button to wake up my screen, it will have already unlocked. I won't have access to that emergency screen anymore. And right. So I just go down 911, and it's faster.
So should there be some sort of technical analysis or standards committee that says this phone is competent to deal with your emergency, rather than letting the smartphone manufacturers kind of ease us into a misunderstanding of how to use our phones by constantly trying to improve its response? So I guess what we're saying here is that the smartphone makers shouldn't try to improve the responsiveness and intelligence of their
wrong. I think they need to improve that performance and that sophistication, because it doesn't matter how many stickers you put on a phone saying, hey, this can't pass a Turing test. This isn't going to be able to handle crisis situations. People don't care. We have already anthropomorphized our phones. We have technology that's so sophisticated that we can complain about the fact that we can't consistently set an alarm by talking to our phone. But we understand we can talk to our phone. And it will do things.
What about the legal implications? The end user agreement says that you shouldn't use your phone for things like air traffic control and control of nuclear facilities and other caveats that the attorneys are required to put in the end user agreement. What about the legal impact of relying on your phone to that extent and then having it fail? What's Apple's and Samsung's responsibility?
Yeah, and see, that's a tough question. I mean, we're in a place right now where we can talk to our phones and they can do so much that we expect them to be able to do so much more. And if we're in a crisis situation and we are used to, we have trained ourselves to talk to our phones to do things, it doesn't matter how many warnings we've been given that our phone can't handle that. We will do exactly what we are trained and conditioned to do. And that will be, people will talk to their phone and tell them whatever the crisis is. And sure,
so this article and this research is very helpful in getting that discussion going.
Oh yes, and my guess is that all the smartphone makers that are using voice recognition control systems are looking at this very closely and probably have been looking at ways to improve their systems even before this report came out. But my guess is that they have a much sharper focus on the situation now that, that we have this report.
I can't wait until John Oliver tackles this.
Well said.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, we're out of time, and which actually kind of breaks my heart because I was really enjoying this, and I could just keep talking about this for, well, probably all day. But since we don't run our show that long, we have to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, this was fun. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome. Great discussion, guys.
Yes. And listeners, I want you in on this discussion. Let me know what you think. Do we need to have our smartphones smarter for crisis situations? Or is that a bad idea for smartphone makers to go down that path? Let me know. You can hit me up on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot me an email. That would be observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments in the show notes. I check all those places. Thanks for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.